Hey, Ryan, since you're not going to the game, where are you planning on watching the Wildcats?
I'll be stuck at the office, but I wish I could be lounging at home in front of my TV.
Yeah, me too. I've been thinking about getting like a big comfy recliner from Sam Levitt's Furniture.
Ooh, stylish.
Sam Levitt's Furniture has specials on a wide selection of recliners, so you can watch the game in style. You can check out a bunch of options at their Tucson locations. I'm thinking of getting one with swivel action.
Ooh.
But I kind of like the one I saw with cup holders.
Well, while Justin makes up his mind about which recliner he likes best, let's talk some sports.
From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Welcome to the Wildcast podcast. I'm Star Sports Editor Ryan Finley here with Greg Hansen. Greg, we'll be brief here on a Wednesday, but there's lots to talk about. Arizona returns home against Washington State in a game that I don't want to put too fine of a point on it here, but if Arizona can win Saturday, 6:30, Arizona Stadium, all of a sudden they are bowl eligible and ranked.
Ranked, that's the key word.
They're bowl eligible and ranked.
And possibly in first place in the South Division.
Greg, a month ago, we said that at the midway point of the season, or games week 6 or 7, would be about the time when you could start discussing the long-term viability of Rich Rodriguez in this program. All of a sudden, they're the surprise of college football. I don't think that's overstatement either.
Yeah, who else? Who else is even in that ballpark?
Arizona State, and that might be it.
Wow. And Iowa State.
And Iowa State.
Maybe three teams.
And the fact that Iowa State's doing it with a walk-on quarterback because their starting quarterback walked away from the team. Big deal.
If anybody says they saw this coming, I'd like to talk to them because you couldn't have seen this coming.
No.
Because their defense still, to this day, is it average?
No.
It's probably below average.
Yes. Yes.
And their offensive line's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Their receivers are,
questionable.
Yeah.
Right.
Their running backs, when they're healthy, are good.
Very.
And the new quarterback is outstanding.
The new quarterback is unlike anything I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And not necessarily, I don't know. He's won Pac-12 Offensive Player of the Week 3 times in a row.
He won it by default last week.
Right.
But he played good.
But somebody's got to win it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's won it 3 times in a row. He's been the Pro Football Focus All-America Quarterback of the Week 3 weeks in a row. Even when he has a bad night, his speed is such that he can still be effective. I don't think he was very good on Saturday against Cal, but my goodness, he made enough plays and they won on the road in the league. This is the damnedest thing I've ever seen.
I watched the replay twice on the Pac-12 Network. Mm-hmm. And finally, I got a handle on what Cal was doing, basically. They had guys everywhere waiting for him.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere. They left people open everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
They left those holes in the line for Zach Green.
Mm-hmm.
They were all waiting for Khalil Tate.
Right.
And he still rushed for, 130?
And he managed to do it on a night, Greg, when they lost J.J. Taylor to a targeting call. Nick Wilson still banged up. Zach Green is their running back. Brandon Leon was on the field at the very end. They did it on a night when their defense kept getting gashed on third downs, on a night when their wide receiving core didn't do a very good job, on a night when their special teams were just okay.
Yeah.
All of these things conspired that 9 times out of 10, knowing Arizona football the way we do, that's how you spell lose, right?
And it would have been predictable.
Right. Injuries, inconsistency, a missed field goal, you're playing on the road late at night against a team that's coming off a big win. Khalil Tate was the difference in that game.
Those two throws he made in the second half,
yes,
the long one to Sean Brown and then the touchdown to Wilma,
mm-hmm.
they were really, the one to Wilma was a really good pass. He was on the run with a guy on it.
Oh, I know. Well, and it's funny. I think that, and it's not just a media thing. I think it's human nature. I think that if somebody is a really athletic quarterback who runs a lot, you probably don't talk much about how well he can throw. Cam Newton may be the best dual threat quarterback in the history of college, or of football, college or pro. And nobody talks about Cam Newton's throwing arm.
Boy, that's a good point.
I mean, Khalil Tate, I mean, Brandon Dawkins, I think, is just as athletic as Khalil Tate. Khalil Tate makes the throws Brandon Dawkins couldn't make. He makes the decisions that Brandon Dawkins couldn't make.
What gets me about it is, who knew?
Yeah. Who knew? I mean, was he just a bad practice player?
That goes around. As we know, it went around with Nick Foles.
Yep. I mean, that was the knock on Nick Foles was, you know, Sonny Dykes looked at us one day, right, and went, he couldn't play. He couldn't play in practice.
Yeah.
Then he comes out and the lights are on and he becomes a really good player. Nick Foles is still in the NFL, in part because he got a chance to start at Arizona and turned into their best ever statistical quarterback. I mean, in a way, I want to sit here and go, well, there's no way this can continue.
Yeah.
But I said that 2 weeks ago and last week.
The defensive coaches in this league now have a pretty good grasp on Arizona's offense and what Tate can do.
Right.
And Cal showed that they limited him.
Right.
I think Cal's got a really good defensive coaching staff with Wilcox and DeRuyter.
Sure.
Washington State, their defensive coordinator, Alex Grinch.
Greatest name in football.
He's the guy around the league. He's the hot guy.
Right.
But they're small, other than Hercules and Mata'a.
Right.
And all of Joe Salavea's guys up front.
Right.
But who knows what if Washington State's any good on defense.
Alex Grinch coaching a guy named Hercules Mata'afa is a headline writer's dream.
Yeah.
How many bad puns do you think have made the Pullman and Spokane newspaper this year with both of those guys? Well, I mean, it's funny, Greg, we were talking off mic here. Their next two games are against Washington State and Washington State and USC. The two teams on their schedule that back in August and September, we both went, nope and nope, right?
Exactly.
If Arizona can even split those games, they would be 6-3 with three remaining games against Oregon State here, at Oregon, at ASU. It's not a stretch to think that they can finish their season 9-3 if they can split these next two games, is it?
No. And if that happened, okay, Rich Rodriguez would be the national coach of the year.
Right.
He would be.
Right. Khalil Tate would receive Heisman Trophy votes.
Yeah.
Yes. Because if they're doing it's because of Khalil Tate, right?
I'm really excited to see how it plays out because can he remain anywhere close to as good as he's been?
I don't know.
I remember when Keith Smith, and maybe that's too long ago, he was the fastest, most elusive quarterback I'd seen in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And his first year as a freshman, he was a redshirt freshman, no one could catch him.
Right.
He was dazzling. Mm-hmm. I couldn't wait to go to the game to see what he did next.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly he got a turf toe. And suddenly took too many hits, and they turned him into a passer.
Right. Right. And that is the question. I mean, Rich Rodriguez's offense does not lend itself to quarterback safety and quarterback durability.
Yeah.
I mean, just looking at his time here at Arizona, I think B.J. Danker is the only quarterback Arizona's ever had to make it through a full season under Rich Rodriguez.
How did that happen?
I think B.J. Danker made every smart play. B.J. Danker was
a slider, too.
And he was a point guard.
Yes.
B.J. Danker caught the ball and got rid of the ball. There was no, I don't know, time to run, I don't think. I don't recall a whole lot of that with Danker. And you're right, and he slid. If Khalil Tate can stay healthy, and if we're just extrapolating out these numbers, and they're ridiculous numbers, but if he can do some approximation of what he even did against Cal last Saturday, if he can just do that every week going forward, who are they going to lose to?
I think they would only lose one game if he's like that.
At SC? Maybe?
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the one. ASU will be really tough.
Yeah.
Just when Pat White did this at West Virginia 4 years as a starter, he gained 4,400 yards rushing and didn't get hurt.
Right.
That's one of the most amazing things in college football.
Mm-hmm.
Did Pat White do running the same offense that Khalil Tate is running, didn't get hurt?
Yep.
That is, does that happen more than once in a coach's lifetime?
I mean, don't you remember? I mean, they were must-see TV. Oh. I mean, my earliest introductions to Rich Rodriguez was watching his Tulane teams when they had Sean King, and his Clemson teams when they had Woody Dantzler. And then, my goodness, I must have spent 5 Thanksgivings in a row watching the backyard brawl, Pitt versus West Virginia, Pat White at quarterback. He made Rich Rodriguez who he is.
Oh, And now he's got another one. We've talked about this, and but if Khalil Tate remains anywhere remotely close to what he's been, we'll be talking about this every day the rest of the year.
If Khalil Tate is like this every Saturday, we'll be talking about him every Saturday until 2020.
I mean, it's just such a crapshoot if you get hurt.
If you get hurt. And when you get hurt, how about this? You're going to get hurt.
Yeah.
When you get hurt, what's it going to be? I mean, if it's an AC joint, well, you can still run the ball. If it's a hand, well, you can still run the ball. You know, the issue is when he gets hurt, is it going to be a knee or an ankle or something that might affect his home run hitting ability, such as it is?
One of my introductions into the injury part of football was my first year covering the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Mm-hmm. And they had their tailback, a rookie tailback, was a great Anthony Davis from USC. John McKay's own guy brought him to Tampa Bay. And he was crummy. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was terrible in the NFL. And I just thought, it's because he was better in college.
Right.
And one day in the middle of the season, somebody asked John McKay, what's wrong with Anthony Davis? And he goes, he's hurt. Mm-hmm. And he said, but he plays every game. He's on the injury list. And he goes, listen, I'll tell you guys this once. Everybody on this team, on this 48-man roster, is hurt to varying degrees. Mm-hmm. Anthony is one of them. And he never wasn't hurt in the NFL. Mm-hmm. He was just wasn't durable.
And would that help explain a little bit, too, with Khalil Tate? Khalil Tate didn't appear on their injury list when he was hurt. It was the thinking, well, he's the backup quarterback. If he has to play, he could.
Yeah.
How about this, by the way? And this is something we're going to... I hope we haven't beaten Khalil Tate to death here, the subject matter, because I think it's fascinating. It is the story this year, and maybe the story of the Rich Rodriguez era. Remember when Khalil Tate was on the sidelines at the end of the Utah game? Khalil Tate had led them back into this game.
Yes, yeah.
Into that game. They go to Brandon Dawkins in the last 2 minutes of the Utah
That's
game.
That's right.
And 2 weeks later, Khalil Tate is everybody's All-American. That's baffling to me.
All because of one play at Colorado in the first series when Brandon Dawkins, instead of just getting down and going out of bounds, he kind of went, bring it, buddy.
Yeah.
And left himself exposed, and he just got clouded.
Yeah, clouded. I like it. All right, Greg. One more thing before we go. By the way, red-blue game, I don't know what we can make out of red-blue one way or another. Give me three quick impressions.
I thought Parker Jackson Cartwright was by far the best he's been in his career. I think he's a stout, sturdy guy mm-hmm. who comes at you. He brings it now instead of having it brought at him. Mm-hmm. He sure looked that way. And that his backup, Alex Barcelo, is going to be a player in this league. Right. Really important player.
Right. He gets compared to T.J. McConnell for reasons that we don't need to get into on this show. But to me, body type and athletic ability, leaping ability at least, there's a little Nick Johnson there, I think.
I want to see him shoot.
Yeah, yeah.
Apparently he's a really good shooter, but mm-hmm. Cartwright guarded him so well he couldn't get off his jumper.
Right.
And we didn't begin to see anything on DeAndre Ayton mm-hmm. because nobody could guard him, and he just kind of floated,
right,
drifted.
You're telling me Dusan Ristić had a hard time guarding a 7-footer?
Yeah. Dusan was impressive.
Yeah.
He got a follow-up rebound, and instead of, you know, has a feather touch?
Yep.
Instead of just laying it in, he dunked it.
Whoa.
From a standing jump.
Whoa.
He couldn't do that for 3 years.
No.
He did a left-handed. He just jumped up and dunked a follow shot, which leads me to believe he's gotten better, mm-hmm. maybe more physical. And Brandon Randolph, of course, only seen him play now for 21 minutes, but your first impression was, oh, he'll be in the NBA.
Right. He was a guy who really impressed during their Spanish trip, too. And again, the red-blue game may be the toughest competition anybody's faced there in 3 months because that Spanish trip wasn't much. But yeah, Brandon Randolph looks like a player. The most interesting thing you've written, I think, in the last week or so came Sunday, where you said that the FBI has asked Arizona and the NCAA to pause their own investigations until after the FBI is done, correct?
Right.
Which means, and it doesn't take a big leap, I don't think, that any results of these investigations and any sanctions won't come down until after this basketball season is over.
And maybe not for a long time.
Maybe not for a long time.
I mean, I think the FBI, this is just one man's opinion, loves this attention. Who's ever doing this loves it.
Right.
And is going to go after Kansas and UCLA and you name it.
Right.
And
And they're going for pelts here. I mean, Emmanuel Book Richardson doesn't make a headline in New York City. Bill Self does. Mike Krzyzewski or Roy Williams would. To me, this investigation is going to keep digging until they find somebody even bigger than Rick Pitino that they can sort of nail on the cross.
An attorney told me, I thought it was hilarious when he said it, this investigation, the FBI, it's like when they tried to hit the mob, mm-hmm. said they want to get a mob boss or two mob bosses. He said, same thing applies here. They got one mob boss already, Rick Pitino.
Right.
Said they're going to get another one.
They're going to get another one. Yeah. Rick Pitino, comparing Rick Pitino to a mob boss, I don't think this is the first time that comparison's been used. Well, to me, it's interesting, too, is this is, to me, an Al Capone situation, right? You're not going to get these guys for taking bribes necessarily, or these athletic departments or these coaches for taking cash. What you're going to get them for is not paying taxes on the cash.
Yep.
And if they can prove that they accepted this money, if nothing else, they're guilty of tax evasion. And if that and people have been sent to jail for a long time for tax evasion.
Al Capone. But Book Richardson hasn't had time yet to declare any income on his tax statement.
Right.
So that comes next spring.
Should they have waited until January 1st to do this? Because then it would be tax evasion? Oh, or until April 15th?
I hadn't thought of that. That's a heck of a question. I'm sure they mulled that over.
Yeah. So at the very least, I think most Arizona fans who are concerned about such things can probably rest easily knowing that the Final Four will go on. The only thing keeping Arizona from the Final Four now is Arizona, not the NCAA. And that if the NCAA does come down hard, it may be a matter of vacating whatever wins they do have this year, as opposed to being banned from the postseason.
Who cares about that?
Right. Ask the good people of Memphis or North Carolina if they have to forget all the wins that they had when they were vacated. I don't think so. Well, that'll do it for this episode of the Wildcast Podcast. Greg Hansen, as always, I know we put you through a lot with the video, videos and the podcast and everything
really
else.
Really grueling work.
Thank you for joining us. Real quick, give me a prediction for Saturday.
I think Washington State will win, and they'll get in the 40s, and Arizona will be in the 30s.
Okay.
What do you think?
I don't know. I'm so bad at this. I learned a long time ago that when just as soon as you think you know, you don't know. So I'm Ryan Finley. We'll see you next time.